much about.
So easy. You gotta put it into perspective.
So let's quit jabbering and let's start jamming.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hello, folks. This is Coop Delicious with Music 103. I'm rocking you all into the cold, frosty night. Well, morning now. Tonight's mostly clear and cold, around 30s. Saturday is mostly sunny in the upper 50s. Ooh, still a little bit chilly. Saturday night, partly cloudy, low in the 30s. Just let's get a little recap of what we played so far. U96 come out with Das Boot, followed up by Utah Saints with Something Good. And I'm glad it is something good for everybody to share with the whole family.
And now,
this is Coop Delicious at CoopDeliciouS. By the way, they call me Coop Delicious because I'm so delicious in your mouth.
Our feature presentation.
That is magic.
I miss Coop.
Yeah, he was something. He was something else.
Well, morning now.
How many years?
That's so creepy.
How many years ago must Coop have been? Oh. We got his tape and just fell in love with him. Quite a few, right?
Probably ten or twelve. Yeah.
And then we flew him out and had him do host the webcast at the Weenie Roast, and he was just as awful as we hoped.
And so annoying.
I don't think he was so annoying. I don't think he was as awful as we hoped. He was just annoying.
Yeah.
At some point, we just finally went, "Oh, he doesn't have that magic. Where'd that magic go?"
Yeah, that air check was amazing. He was working at some station in North Carolina or something, I think, and had applied for a job at K-Rock, and that's where we got the tape. And we just, until Beer Mud came along, Coop Delicious was the worst person I ever heard on the radio. But now I've almost forgotten about it, now that we got Mugs.
Well, I was glad that you gave us a refresher course on that one.
Well, Omar just brought him up out of the blue yesterday. Hey, you guys remember Coop Delicious? And it just took me back. It was good times. Here's a story. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show, kids. It is Wednesday today, and I think it's the 8th, I think.
It is the 8th.
All right. Here's a story that I think you guys are going to love. It has everything. McDonald's, first of all, best restaurant in the history of the world ever.
Okay.
The title of the Daily Mail gives the title of this article, "She's Not Loving It, Woman Tasered in McDonald's Drive-Thru After Cutting Line."
Oh,
what?
Nice.
Wow, they're getting serious.
No kidding.
Apparently, this woman, Evangeline Luca, 37, and her 3-year-old daughter in the car, by the way, this was not the first time that they had pulled up at this McDonald's restaurant in Hope Mills, North Carolina. And instead of getting in line and going through and ordering from the little speaker like you're supposed to, she would just drive back her car in front of the window where they hand you the food.
What?
And then she's trying to cut the line. She said, "I don't want to wait in line. I'm just going to back up to where they hand you the food and order it there."
Would they take her order there?
No, they never took her order there because, for starters, they can't handle any money there. I mean, they don't even have a register or anything like that. They can't do anything for her. So it doesn't say in the article how many times, but apparently she had done it before, and she did it again, where she pulls in and she says, "Look, I don't want to wait in line. I want my food. I want to order my food from here." And they say, "We can't help you. You have to go around." She says, "No." She refuses to move her car. So they call the police. And the police come out and they say, "Ma'am, you've got to move your car." And she says, "No." And they say, "But you don't understand. You're blocking traffic. This is against the law what you're doing. You are trespassing and you are blocking traffic."
Right.
And she says, "No." So they tase her.
Sweet.
But I mean, what choice did they have, right?
None.
She was defiant. She blocked the line for 20 minutes. They performed a drive stun on her, which is they hold the device directly onto your skin. I guess there's another way to do it where you can actually fire a taser cartridge and do it without physically touching the person. You can do it, you can shoot them with it, basically.
Right.
And then they took her daughter into protective custody. But it's so funny to hear the people describing how she's flopping around out of the car and everything like that.
Oh, God. I wonder why she kept doing it if they wouldn't serve her.
Yeah, it's not like it ever worked one time, right? But McDonald's, I mean, we had that woman in California a couple of weeks ago who was trying to trade sex for McNuggets, and now this woman is just so obsessed with getting McDonald's food that she's willing to get tased for it. It just seems like there's some sort of ad campaign here. I can't put my finger on it, but they should be taking advantage of how much people love McDonald's.
I'm not sure that they want to do that. It's worth getting tased over.
But doesn't it just seem like people are so crazy for this McDonald's food they're willing to do weird things?
It does.
Putting something in that food to make it more addictive. Than it already is, because people are ramping it up.
That's what we'd all like to think. But it's just good. It's not worth getting tased over.
I don't know any food that is.
I've never thought of backing up into the line.
That's a great idea.
Smart. Yeah.
But I don't think it's fair, and I've heard this before, that they don't serve you if you walk or bike up to the drive-thru.
No, that
window.
Is true, yeah.
They won't. I think they should allow you to do that. I guess if the store is open, I can understand they'd say, hey, we'd prefer you come in. But if it's nighttime and the store's not open, they're just doing drive-thru, it seems like you should be allowed to.
Maybe they're worried somebody's going to get hurt in the drive-thru. I don't know. I don't understand it either, but...
Well, anyway, good times. That's our citizen of the day, Evangeline Luca, 37. Well done.
Wow, that's fantastic. Worth getting tased over. Did she yell, don't tase me, bro?
She might have. I'm not sure.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Much as I'd like to take your word for it, I have no interest in taking your word for it.
Thank you, sir. Mr. House?
Guys who cry during movies. Mark Wahlberg just came out with an interview where he said that he cried about seven times at The Help. That was a pretty, it was an emotional movie.
It was, and I think I got pretty teary a couple of times, too.
But most guys, even if they do, won't say it.
Right.
But he's out saying that, so we're going to take your calls. Guys who cried at movies, specifically, because girls cry because they're girls. That's just how it works.
We get to cry as much as we want, and no one can say anything.
Guys, not allowed. We have a brand new Ralph's Rant that I think you're going to want to hear in the 6 o'clock hour. It's pretty hard to believe.
I hope it's not about me again.
It is not.
Oh, good.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you, and we have Adam Carolla on the program for you today, and we have Grammy tickets in the 7 o'clock hour, just like we do every.
Is Lisa going to rap
every day?
No,
this week.
Not today.
Lisa's not going to rap today.
Still resting my voice,
but it will happen.
Takes a lot out of me.
I believe it will happen before the end of the week. That's good. That's what I hope.
Is that what you've heard?
Yeah. That's what I've heard in the grapevine.
On the streets.
So that's coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
A little band called Muse coming up next here on the Kevin Amico Show. Got some Foo Fighters, Blink 182, and Sublime with Rome on the way. Ralph, good morning. What's going on?
Sublime.
Different Rome.
I'm done. You're in the jungle.
It's different Rome.
Oh, no fun.
Before I get to Showbiz news, how about some passes to a very special K-Rock advanced screening of Wanderlust?
Yay!
Movie starring Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd in theaters everywhere on February the 24th. You'll get to see it Thursday the 23rd, a whole day before everybody else does. It's a special advanced screening if you'd like to attend.
It's not a lot of brag time, by the way, the night before. You got to give them some brag time.
That's plenty of brag time.
Is it?
Yeah, because just the next day, you just hang out by the box office. I'd like two tickets for Wanderlust. But ha-ha, saw it! Before opening day, suck it! You just said to everybody who was asking for tickets.
All right.
So, you got to pick your spot. That's all. Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd play a Manhattan couple who find themselves suddenly unemployed. And as they look for a new place to live and they leave the city, they stumble across a rural commune where free love and nudity and general hippieism is the order of the day. And it looks very funny to me. I love Paul Rudd.
He's funny.
Jennifer Aniston can be...
She
scares
me.
Perfect when well cast.
She scares me.
Well, it just depends on the film.
Yeah.
She's often the best thing in some lesser films. I think when given good material, she can shine, and this looks to be it. And Malin Ackerman, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's...
One of the comedy members.
Burying the lead there.
Call 1-800-520-1067. First three callers, let's say, who get through, we'll get a pair of passes, and you'll get to see Wanderlust for everybody else. Congratulations to Robert Downey Jr. and his wife, Susan. They welcomed a baby boy into the world Tuesday. Exton Downey.
Come on now.
Exton Elias Downey.
Come on. Can't even use his middle name.
Nope. He's EED.
Come on.
Sounds like some sort of syndrome.
Exton.
7 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches long, and everyone's doing very well. Everyone's healthy and couldn't be happier, according to a friend, tells People magazine. Exton, of course,
Exton
will have more than just Robert as a male role model in his life. He's got an 18-year-old big brother from Robert's first marriage, Indio. Indio Downey and Exton Downey, I'm sure, will spend an enormous amount of time together being the best of buddies.
Wow.
Exton. There's a little town outside of Philadelphia called Exton, PA.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I think of when I hear of Exton, a little suburb of Philadelphia. While we're talking about babies and their names, Jay-Z and Beyonce are still raising their little business venture, Blue Ivy. You know, she's the youngest performer ever to have a hit in the top 100,
yeah,
Kevin.
I hear that, know that, yeah, or not. Because they put her crying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The end of the song?
Yeah. She, her name has been trademarked this week. Jay-Z and Beyonce went to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and they have trademarked Blue Ivy.
Does that mean no one else can ever name their child Blue Ivy?
You have to write them a check if you name them Blue Ivy. No, I'm kidding. You're allowed to, but you couldn't, let's say, release a perfume with your baby's name Blue Ivy on it. Okay. So any products with Blue Ivy on them would have to go through Jay-Z and Beyonce, once again continuing their business venture that is their daughter.
Wow. But that is a smart move, though. I mean, somebody would take it. Somebody could easily take advantage of the celebrity of that name, Blue Ivy, and start releasing products under it. And I can understand why they wouldn't want that to happen.
But couldn't you release products under Dave or Steve? Do we all now have to trademark our names out of fear that someone will release?
Well, I think that's an unusual enough name and is hot enough right now. I mean, let's face it. Wouldn't they be ticked if they walked into a liquor store and there was a Blue Ivy line of vodka or something like that? That, you know, somebody had taken their daughter's name to put on alcohol? I think so.
Put a picture on it.
I think it makes sense.
I'm just saying, don't name your kid something doofus and then that won't happen.
Good point.
Demi Moore's going to have friends at the Cirque Lodge as she goes through rehab. Apparently, she will be spending quality time with Brooke Mueller. Charlie Sheen's third ex-wife is currently in the program. So I guess they'll be running into each other. Word is, Demi has developed a bad habit of mixing Adderall with Red Bull energy drinks. That's her primary problem.
It's one way to stay thin.
That is one way to stay thin. She's also battling anorexia, which is another way to stay thin.
Sure.
So she's very focused on staying thin.
She could eat. She looks like...
Oh, that's your answer to anorexia.
Damaged. Yes.
Just eat.
Just have some food.
You should work at the Cirque Lodge. They should have you on staff as a counselor.
They've been trying to get me. I'm busy.
Just sit there and hey, eat.
Eat.
Hey, you drinkers? Don't drink. You addicts over there? Don't do drugs.
See you tomorrow.
Good night, everybody. I'm Kevin Ryder. And Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry. Porn star Kim Kardashian has a new best friend, Leanne Rimes.
That's an odd pairing.
It is an odd pairing. Well, you'll understand when you realize what they're bonding over, Kevin. It's been announced that Leanne told friends that they have come together over their faith in God.
I'm sorry?
Yes, their strong faith in God has brought them together in friendship.
Now, I heard that about Leanne Rimes, but you said porn star
Kim Kardashian has found God, and they both attend services at the Life Change Community Church, which sounds effing shaky if you ask me.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Didn't you and Bean get certificates from the Life Change Community Church?
No, isn't that how you're Universal able to? Life Church.
Oh, very close. Yeah, apparently.
Even shakier.
They're very into their worship there at the Life Change Community Church.
Okay.
Apparently they lunched after services with the pastor of the congregation, Brad Johnson, and Howie Mandel, who's also a member.
What is happening?
I wonder if they got mobbed. Wasn't planning a flash mob.
They got mobbed.
Didn't Leanne, though, isn't she the country star who stole some woman's husband, Ralph?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's in the Bible, right? Do that.
The Life Change Church is apparently the church for people who don't like to behave well.
Yeah,
that's, I see.
It's very forgiving. It's a religion.
See Kim Kardashian on Last Man Standing last night? I guess she's a regular character on that show now.
No.
Nope. I shan't.
I've not seen that show. That's the new Tim Allen show, but apparently she was on both episodes that they aired last night.
I haven't, and I shan't. And you got to like Brad Pitt's life.
You would think, right?
Married to Angelina Jolie, he's got a bunch of kids, big movie star, all the money in the world. And a lot of people have talked in the past about how Angelina Jolie certainly has calmed down since her wild child days when she was cutting herself and bouncing off of a padded room with Billy Bob Thornton and wearing his blood around her neck. And Charlie Rose apparently had a conversation with Brad this week and asked him about his wife's reputation at one time about being a bad girl. And Brad said, oh, she's still a bad girl. Delightfully so, he added. He said, being a mom of six certainly has to have her tame her urges around the kids, but she saves her wild side for Brad.
Hmm.
Oh, can you imagine?
No.
What happens when she uncorks that side?
No, I can't.
Come on!
Good things.
Good things happen. And Kate Beckinsale has a very charming sense of humor, in my opinion.
I did not hear a bell. Thank you.
She tells Us Weekly magazine that there's a family tradition at her mother's house that she continues to this day. She's done it since she was a child, and she does it when she visits her mom this day.
Okay.
Whenever she goes into my mom's house, she says, she goes to her fruit bowl and leaves a banana and two apples in the shape of a penis and two testicles.
That's what her, that's her mom's...
No, it's her tradition at her mom's house. She's a saucy minx is what I'm trying to tell you.
No, I hear you. She must have a funny mom as well.
Yeah, because apparently mom gets a kick out of it, too.
My mom wouldn't go for that comedy.
She wouldn't? And congratulations to one of my favorite competition reality shows. I'm sure you guys don't watch, but it's on the Sci-Fi Network. It's called Face Off.
No.
Sci-Fi has just announced a third season for Face Off. They're going to bring it back. If you don't watch, you may not like it. I'm fascinated by special effects makeup.
Right.
And the premise is they get young, aspiring special effects makeup people from all over the country, and they come together and they give them a challenge. Okay, this week you're going to reimagine the characters of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I see.
Show us what you can do. You're going to do you have to do a makeup based on underwater sea creatures. Show us what you can do. And they break them up into teams, and they have to create these elaborate prosthetic face pieces and body pieces, and they do special effects movie makeup.
Not interested.
Come on, it's interesting. And the results are fantastic, and it's a very entertaining program.
All right.
Watch it.
No, all enjoy right. it. Let us
I'm
know.
Just saying, Face Off has been renewed. It's coming back for a third season, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, way too much stuff I keep up with, Ralph.
I know.
TV.
I know you're a busy, busy man. You have to read 8 chapters of a book from time to time. I know you got a lot going on. Today's celebrity birthdays, pro surfer Bethany Hamilton. She's just got the one arm, you know.
That's yeah. true.
Shark took the other one. I'll catch a shark for you, Chief. That's what she says all the time. 22 years old today. Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 27. Oh, I wonder who made this list of birthdays for me. Oh, I love Paramore. I have their fingerless gloves. Phoenix of Linkin Park celebrates 35 years today. Seth Green, our buddy Seth Green, celebrating his 38th birthday. Actress Mary McCormick. Can be seen in the series In Plain Sight and other projects. 43 years old. Vince Neil of Motley Crue. 51, Mary Steenburgen, 59 years old today. Ted Koppel, ABC News anchor, is 72. John Williams, legendary composer and conductor of such movie soundtracks as Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws, almost everything Spielberg ever did, 80 years old. And actor Nick Nolte, Kevin's favorite, hands-on favorite for Best Supporting Actor in this year's Oscar race. Actor Nick Nolte, 71 years old today.
I don't even know how I became 71.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The Foo Fighters on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 24 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Very excited about seeing them perform live at the Grammys on Sunday night. I'm starting to hear a little bit more about some of the performances that they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird. They're going to be at some sort of an outdoor tent with Lil Wayne and I think Skrillex and a bunch of other people. And it's going to be this big, giant, like, dance medley where they're all performing, like, interacting with one another, all these different musical acts.
Foo Fighters and Skrillex?
Yes.
Weird.
Sounds like it's going to be very weird. And if you want to see it in person, you can. We have Grammy tickets you can win next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then again tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour, and same thing on Friday. Speaking of music, you guys remember last year when the Rebecca Black Friday song came out, and everybody in the whole world hated it, and it was the internet sensation. It's all anybody could talk about. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, something similar has been going on with an artist that I like very much named Lana Del Rey. In fact, she has an album out right now called Born to Die. It's in the top 10 in the U.S., number one in Britain this week, by the way. And she did not have a record out, but she started circulating a couple of videos online up on YouTube, which is how, you know, many people get discovered these days. And people just fell in love with her. She's a very attractive young woman, very sexy, very sultry, good music. People really fell in love with her. And then she got such a buzz going that Saturday Night Live booked her to be the musical act on their show in January before her album even came out.
Wow, that seems premature.
It almost never happens, right? That's how big the buzz was. That's how much people were digging on this Lana Del Rey. Well, she went out and she did this performance, and she had very little live stage experience. She'd only ever done a couple of club shows or something like that. And she was just a disaster. Ooh. I mean, she just bombed big time. And all of a sudden, people turned on her like Rebecca Black.
they started out with Rebecca Black hating her. Lana Del Rey, they loved, and then they turned on her.
Aw, that's kind of sad.
That hurts.
And then they just started piling on and saying, hey, wait a minute, she put out another record a couple of years ago under a different name. Now it's just, this whole thing is just an image, and she's not authentic. And hey, wait a minute, those lips look fake. Maybe she's had plastic surgery. Hey, wait a minute, I heard that she lived in a trailer park, but now somebody else says she's rich.
What?
And it just turned into this whole cottage industry of reasons to hate Lana Del Rey. An artist who, like, 3 months ago, they loved, right? If you haven't heard her music, I
barely know who you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen a picture of her, and she looks hot.
She is hot. She's definitely hot.
That's the depth of my, that's how much I know.
Well, let's listen to a little, I don't know if you've heard the album. Again, it's called Born to Die. I like it a lot. I listen to it all the time. And here's one of the tracks that she released before the album came out called Blue Jeans. I just want to listen to, 30, 45 seconds of something from the song. And then we're going to get into what Saturday Night Live did this past weekend to kind of make a response to all the people who have been hating on her. Here's Lana Del Rey.
Blue jeans, white shirt. Walked into the room, you know you made my eyes burn. It was like James Dean, for sure. You're so fresh to death and sick as cancer. You're so punk, but I grew up on hip hop. You fit me better than my favorite sweater. And I know that love is mean, and love hurts. But I still remember that day we met in December, oh baby.
May not be for everybody, but she's hardly a talentless hack, right?
No, she's good.
I sort of like that, except for she used the phrase fresh to death. But other than that, I sort of liked it.
So Saturday Night Live this past weekend, they're doing the weekend update, and Kristen Wiig, who I love so much and is so great on SNL, she comes out dressed like Lana Del Rey. She's got the big bouffant hair, and she's got the heavy eye makeup, and she's wearing this super tight white dress with her boobs all puffed up. And she addressed, as Lana Del Rey, she addressed all the critics of her last appearance, The Real Person, when she appeared on SNL. I think it's very, very funny.
Lana, 3 weeks ago, you were on the show, and you sang 2 songs off your new album.
That's what I thought I did, Seth, but based on the public's response, I must have instead clubbed a baby seal while singing the Taliban national anthem.
That's true, Lana. There was a surprisingly big backlash.
Yes, but Seth, I am not here to defend my performance. The public has spoken, and I have to accept it. Instead, I would like to apologize for some of the things people took issue with.
Oh. Okay, well, yeah, let's start with some of those. To some critics, they pointed out that you attempted a singing career a few years ago under your real name, Lizzie Grant, and I guess they thought your new name, Lana Del Rey, seemed like a marketing gimmick.
Yes, and they're absolutely right. No serious musician would ever change their name. Except maybe for Sting, Cher, Elton John, Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, everyone else in hip-hop, and of course, Bob Dylan.
That's an excellent point. I also read some people say that you didn't seem seasoned enough to be on the show.
Indeed. Some said I was, quote, the worst musical guest in SNL history.
Well, that is just not true, Lon.
No, Seth. These critics are absolutely right. The music stage on Saturday Night Live is hallowed ground, and I failed to reach the high bar set by past guests like Bubba Sparks, the Baha Men, and Shaggy.
Well, there's a little bit of Kristen Wiig doing Lana Del Rey at SNL. It was very funny. There's more, and we put that clip up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Plus, we put up both clips of the actual performances that she did on SNL, so you can see if it's as bad as your friends say it is. And we also put up the video for her new single, which is the title track. The album's called Born to Die. So you can get all of that at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Wednesday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here my whole thing. How can Mark Wahlberg, the same guy who says he could have stopped 9/11 from happening, cry at the help? How can both of those things be true for Mark Wahlberg in the last 2 weeks?
Renaissance man.
I guess he can do it.
He runs
all.
Deep. That's right, man.
I guess so.
Better than
anyway,
you.
We're going to be talking about his revelation about crying at that movie coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin
I cried at The Happening. The Happening?
Yeah.
During the whole film, I cried. I said, oh, this movie got made. Oh.
We're going to be looking for you guys in the movies that you've cried at coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman, welcome in. You seem angry.
One man.
I am.
One quest.
Angry.
He doesn't sleep until corruption and deceit is brought to the forefront.
I'm not sleeping.
His crusade is to make right on all that is wrong in the world. a fighter for injustice. He will avenge us all. His name, Ralph Garman, and this is Ralph's Rants.
Oh, it's got you upset today.
What now?
These groups, these pseudo-religious right-wing douchebag protest groups.
Oh, I'm with you on this.
Holy crap. This one really chapped my ass
this
week.
Is this the group that's boycotting the...
JCPenney?
No, that's boycotting funerals? No?
No, no. This isn't the Westboro Baptist Church, which, of course, is one of my pet hates. But yeah. This one is the American Family Association, AFA. They've got an offshoot, a project of theirs called 1 Million Moms, which they prop themselves up as protectors of American values, which always cracks me up, the whole concept of that there is only one set of American values. Apparently, there's only one way to live if you live in America, and they've got it tapped.
It has to be their way?
Yeah. They have started a protest against JCPenney because they hired Ellen DeGeneres as a spokeswoman. Apparently, Ellen has committed the unforgivable offense of being a lesbian and being open about it.
So they're boycotting JCPenney because
Kevin, because apparently she's on the wrong side of what they're calling the culture war. Here's a little clip from the American Family Association.
JCPenney has deliberately made a choice to make the public face of their company a woman who models behavior which is destructive and out of alignment with the laws of nature and nature's God.
We asked JCPenney to just remain neutral in the culture war. We asked that they replace Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesperson.
With Elton John.
And by doing this, they would be remaining neutral in the culture war because she is a gay activist, and she makes no secret to this. She's very open about this in her lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's certainly not like they couldn't find any other well-known spokespeople. I mean, there are tons of heterosexual people out there that could easily serve as the spokesman. So this had to be a very, very deliberate choice on their part.
Yes,
we are defining deviancy down, and JCPenney now has taken the lead in our culture.
All right.
Yes.
They didn't hire her because she was gay. They hired her because she's popular.
Likeable. Ellen DeGeneres, of course, they've got that right. She is a gay activist. She just travels around elementary schools everywhere in America demanding that young women grow up to be lesbians. I mean, she's well known for that. If you know anything about me, there's one thing I will not tolerate, and that is intolerance.
That's true.
And I'm so tired of these people trying to represent America. Look, the American Family Association, the very name itself is a lie, because if you want to believe whatever statistics you want to believe, 10% of Americans are gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual. And the fact that they are dismissing them outright and then trying to apply economic pressure onto a business that made a choice that said, we like what Ellen DeGeneres represents. She's funny. She's charming. She's kind. By all accounts, she gives to charity. She's
a good
person. She can dance.
You know, she's got that.
And she's representing our product, and we think she's an excellent choice for them to turn around. You don't want to shop at JCPenney, ignorant, bigoted douchebags, then don't shop there. But to try to foment society into a boycott against a company that has made a perfectly reasonable choice is so disgusting to me, so infuriating to me. And the fact that they're this giant sort of cloaked in secrecy organization that couches themselves in the flag and in motherhood and 1 million moms. I guarantee you there's not 1 million moms in this group.
When they did the March on Washington, I think there were 20,000 or something like that is all it was. I mean, it's crazy. It's
did
ridiculously
they call it a million mom march?
Yeah, that's exactly what they call it, because their group is called the Million Moms. But, Ralph, what about all the heterosexuals that are out of work? JCPenney could have easily hired one of them instead.
I'm so tired of gays taking heterosexual jobs. They come in here, they take our women, and they take our jobs.
They don't take our women.
The lesbians do, yeah.
Something needs to be done, and I think right-thinking Americans need to start firing back at these types of groups. We need to find some effective way of battling. If this is indeed a culture war, if they're declaring war on me,
right,
then I need to start fighting back.
Time to fight back.
I need the Garmy to get together, and we need to suit up, and we need to start battling. And I think what needs to happen is there needs to be some sort of investigation into the American Family Association, into the 1 million moms. We need to find out who these people are, what they do for a living, where they work, and then we need to start boycotting those businesses.
The problem is those of us that aren't offended by it at all normally don't do anything. We just sit
no,
back.
No, we are so right. Literally the silent majority. Right. And these vocal lunatics who go out there and spew this, first of all, complete fiction about the fact that homosexuals are advocating homosexuality among young people, and that they're deviants of nature, and they're destructive. Their behavior is somehow destructive to society. It's just insanity. And then to try to apply economic pressure to a perfectly legitimate business like JCPenney is reprehensible to me. And they need to start paying the price. We need to start finding a way to, if this is a culture war, to battle back against
fight fire with fire. Here's what's happened, and we've seen this happen a lot, and we've seen it happen in our own company, is that in the older days, people used to always complain, and society would say, okay, thanks.
Enough from you.
Okay, lunatic fringe.
Right.
Emphasis on lunatic.
Noted. Now let's go on with about our business like we... And now they start to pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that people are starting to pay attention to these lunatics.
Some people say the answer is to contact JCPenney and say if they buckle to the pressure of this group, if they remove Ellen DeGeneres as a spokesperson, then we will start boycotting them. And I say, well, then you're just putting JCPenney in the middle of a firefight, really, that they didn't even start. We need to start attacking these people where they live, literally, wherever that is, whoever they are, whatever they do. We need to start to motivate and mobilize, and we can't just let GLAAD, for example, a group that defends gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender rights, we can't let them carry the weight of this one, because this affects all of us. This is an organization that is putting the name American in its name, the American Family Association. And I think this has to go beyond those small organizations who protect gay and lesbian rights. This has to start infuriating just average people, heterosexuals, homosexuals, whoever you are, whatever religion you are, whatever sexuality you are. You need to start getting angry about these type of fringe groups that are starting to inflict their bigoted, ignorant attitudes on our society. And it's happening more and more. It's more and more prevalent. They're attacking the TV shows that we watch, the movies that we enjoy. The Muppets have a liberal agenda that they're trying to push. And anything that doesn't wash with them is somehow degrading the American way of life. And we need, as the other Americans, need to stand up and say, American first and foremost is about tolerance, is about acceptance, is about live and let live, and stop letting these people try to influence our pop culture as well as our shopping and every other avenue of our lives with their misguided hatred.
I've decided that seems like a big job for me, but at the very least I can go shop at JCPenney, and I haven't done that in 10 years.
There you go.
Yeah,
support
like
JCPenney. Let's let their sales shoot through the roof with Ellen DeGeneres as a spokesperson so that they have no choice but to keep her on.
You can do that if you want to take that chance of turning a little bit gay, Kevin, if you go in there. You know what happens if you shop at JCPenney, man.
When you walk
through the door, you get a little bit gay now because they got Ellen.
Is their spokesperson, you will start buying a lot more spandex, I find.
It's really,
and some mesh tank tops, I think, it will be flying out the door.
It's hard to believe that people who are older than us by quite a bit are this much more stupid, isn't it? Don't you think people kind of are supposed to?
I wouldn't defend that sentence
wise?
If that's what you're asking.
I'm not sure what
no,
you
I'm
said.
Saying, don't you think older people kind of get wise and they learn more than you?
But
no,
this guy, Brian Fisher, I think he's our age. He's our age or younger. The spokesperson for the AFA. He doesn't look like an older guy. He just looks like a guy who's, you know, this has been what he's been taught and what he's bought into.
I find often older people carry with them the bigotries and the misconceptions of generations past because they're more entrenched in that sort of old way of thinking. And I think younger people are more responsible for seeing the advances made in culture and society and saying, this is just not what we believe anymore. This is just not how we act anymore. We're not going to be this intolerant. We're not going to be this ignorant. We're going to try to be more open-minded and more accepting and more just considerate and loving towards other ways of life that we may not necessarily agree with, but we have to respect and protect their rights to live the way that they that they
choose. Right, what else can we do? What kind of action can we take?
Okay, here's my idea. Drones. We need to start sending in drones.
I like it. Okay, good. Okay.
Robot planes that will, with pinpoint accuracy, start taking out the million moms.
And who... Which is about 20 of them.
Yes.
So kill mothers. That's what our response is. That's what our loving, graceful response is.
That's
is
right.
To kill moms.
Listen, I know that
make
violence
orphans.
Isn't the answer, except in this particular case.
Is it always the answer?
Isn't it, well, I don't think violence is almost ever the answer. But look, every rule has its exception.
Sure. Exactly.
We need to start carpet bombing. We need, if anyone has any napalm in their garage that we can borrow,
okay.
We can
use
some of that.
I'm not sure we need napalm.
This is a healthy discussion.
Bouncing Betty mines. If you have any of those bouncing Betty mines, I'm a big fan of those. You know, surface-to-air missiles, if you have any of those. Stingers. We're looking for anything.
We're
trying to collect some ammunition.
We're in a culture war.
We need tanks. We need body armor. We need...
I don't think it's that kind of war.
Helmets, shields.
I think what we need is some kind of...
Rubber bullets? I'll take rubber bullets. tear gas canisters. What do you have?
I'm just asking
the people, what do you have? Because I didn't know we're at war. Now I've just been told we're at war.
I appreciate your hatred.
We need
to
start stockpiling ammunition.
Just got out of control in a hurry.
I don't think it's necessarily going to be a Stinger missile that's going to help here.
It's not going to hurt. I'm saying it's not going to hurt. It's going to drive home a point that I think needs to be given to these people in the sharpest, most specific terms, which is we are going to blow you up. We need to start doing some investigation into who these people are. I want to know who what's the guy who was talking there?
I don't know. I never caught his name.
He didn't identify himself. Did he? They never do. They're just.
I think he's Brian Fisher. I think is his
Brian
name.
Brian Fisher. Okay, if you know anyone named Brian Fisher, just slap him right in the face today.
No. That's
just
look. That's not helpful.
Odds are we're going to find the one in all those slaps will be the right guy. I'm just saying, find a Brian Fisher today and slap him. We need to start doing some research, find out who these people are, what they do. We need to get some intel on the enemy. We're in a culture war, people. We need some intel.
We need to find on the ground.
We need to know who they are, what they do, and then we have to start attacking them where they live. I want to go to the bait shops where they work. I want to go to the trailer parks where they live. I want to find out where they how they make their money. I want to know what meth labs they got out in the desert.
We're out of time, Ralph.
What taxidermy shops that they're operating in, what gun stores they own. And we're going to start boycotting them. We're going to let them feel the economic pinch, and that way maybe they'll recognize that their attitudes are misguided.
Okay.
Or against Stinger missiles.
I think there's a nugget of truth in there somewhere amongst the Stinger missiles.
I think that there's a nugget of explosives in that, too, and I think we also need to use that.
Our new feature, Shut Up, Marky Mark, coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we've got your Grammy tickets next hour as well. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
We were just talking a few moments ago about the 1 million moms from the American Family Association and how they're boycotting JCPenney because of Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
More showbiz and politics crossing swords. This time, I can't believe this. If you saw the Clint Eastwood ad during the Super Bowl for Chrysler, perhaps one of the most inspirational and sort of rah-rah American feel-good, let's get back to who we used to be sort of spots I've seen in a long time.
Right. That was my favorite ad of the whole day, by the way.
Very inspirational.
That was great.
Apparently, the Republicans are up in arms, saying he's now become a mouthpiece for Obama. With what? That spot.
Yeah, I heard that debate.
What?
Isn't he a well-known Republican?
He is Republican and libertarian.
This is why I hate politics. Yeah.
And they're saying he is a front person mouthpiece for President Obama with that spot. And I didn't take a political slant off of that spot at all. If anything, I thought it was just pro-American business, really, more than anything. Clint has been forced into a response. He said, I'm certainly not politically affiliated with President Obama. It was just meant to be a message about job growth and the spirit of America. I think all politicians will agree with that. I thought the spirit was okay, but criticizing Republicans say that's not the case at all. Ugh. Karl Rove said he was offended by the commercial. Really? You were offended by a pro-American business spot? That offends you?
I think the how undertone has long
how
been the enemy.
How embarrassing you are.
Of big business.
I think the undertone, though, wasn't it, Ralph, to be fair, of the spot was that the thanks to the bailout, this company, these companies that make cars in America that we thought were gone, they've come back and now are stronger than ever. I think maybe people were interpreting it as it was pro-Obama because he was kind of the engineer of the bailout, perhaps.
I thought it was more Chrysler thanking the American people for keeping them in business and them trying to bring it back.
I didn't think one thing political.
Yeah. So,
I'm so tired of this.
Yeah.
When's the election over?
Poor
not until November, dude.
Come on now.
Got a long way to go.
Yeah, this will make you feel better, Kevin. The Hangover 3.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about.
Bradley Cooper said this week that there absolutely will be a third installment of the film.
I can't believe how drunk we got last night, and I don't remember what happened.
Shut up, Bean. This is going to be awesome.
He said he hasn't read the script yet, but he dreads where they could be headed next. So after Thailand, I guess, he thinks it could be
how
north.
How did we get on the moon?
Why are we in the desert in Dubai? Things get worse and worse for those guys.
Love it.
More movie news. Russell Crowe had been rumored this week. We'll be playing RoboCop in the upcoming RoboCop remake.
What was that? Was that a...
What was RoboCop?
It was a robot that was a cop? I forget.
Oh, Kevin! How can you? RoboCop was awesome. Peter Weller played a Detroit cop.
Okay.
Who was almost killed in the line of duty.
Right.
And much like the $6 million man, like the Bionic Man, they put his what's left of him inside this robot suit. So he's got his brain and a couple other pieces inside this robo cop, and then he's got to go be unleashed into Detroit to fight crime. But his programming, his computer program, starts to conflict with his humanity.
Uh-oh.
And that battle goes, and he finds out that the people behind the RoboCop are not the good guys they pretend to be. Great film. They're bringing it back, but Russell went public this week and wanted to clear up that rumor saying he is not in the running to be the new RoboCop. So
I'd like to announce right here and now that I am not either.
Kevin is not either. However, correct. Russell said he is in the running for a role in the upcoming biblical epic Noah about, as you can imagine, Noah and his ark and the flood and the two of each animal and all that kind of good stuff.
It's a big boat.
It is a big boat. Denzel Washington's latest film, Safe House, opens this weekend.
It looks great. That looks great. Yeah,
come on.
That looks great.
As I was watching the commercial, I was doing the voiceover in my head. Denzel Washington in every movie you've ever seen Denzel Washington in.
He's not trying to stop a train.
It's all the same.
Come on now.
You could just cut together scenes from every movie he's done in the past 10 years. It would look exactly like that commercial.
They have done a lot of... He's our best trained operative.
Oh, he's can't be stopped.
And now he's turned.
He's got a gun and he's angry and he's yelling at that whitey.
The government is going to have to go after him and they're going to lose.
Just announced he's in talks for another action film called Two Guns that he will co-star in with.
He's got two guns.
Mark Wahlberg, which is based on a graphic novel. So one guy's a DEA agent, the other's a naval intelligence agent, and they're also both cops.
Yeah.
And they set off to rob a local bank, which is a front for the mob.
Awesome.
Two guns.
One bullet.
And it looks like Kanye may have had his finger on the pulse.
Is that right?
Just announced.
He goes by Ye around here.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Ye may know what he's talking about. Just announced the live-action remake of The Jetsons.
What?
Yes! How about that? He wants to be in control of the Jetsons.
He may
get his chance.
Is he doing this? Is that where it came from?
It does not say. He's affiliated with it here, but they are absolutely remaking the classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon about the space-age family. It will be live action. No word on casting yet of George, Jane, Judy, Elroy, Astro, Rosie the Robot, Cosmo Spacely, any of the characters. But I'm going to audition for George. I didn't know that was up.
Jane, get me off this crazy
Kanye
thing!
Kanye West. Is
black.
It's true.
Timing. It's a tough room. Today's celebrity birthdays. Pro surfer Bethany Hamilton. She's 22 years old today. Jeremy Davis, bassist of Paramore, is 27 years
old. Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
Well put.
Dave took lessons from me.
Phoenix of Linkin Park is 35 years old. Is he the rapist? Because I know there's a rapist
there's
in Linkin
no rapist.
Park.
There's no rapist in the band.
No, I saw
Linkin
it on
Park.
News. There's a rapist in Linkin Park, and
that's a whole
I've never been able
thing.
To identify which one
it's
it was.
A housing community named Linkin Park. It has nothing to do with the band.
Huh. Linkin Park lives in a housing community named Linkin Park?
No.
What are the odds? Seth Green, our good friend, is 38 years old today.
Seth Green.
No, come on. Mary McCormick's 43. Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 51. See them in the Super Bowl commercial?
Yes,
that
I
dude
did.
Is
yes.
having the dream where he's driving that car, and yep. Adriana Lima gives him the starting mm-hmm. flag, and next thing you know, Motley Crue is playing and he's going around the track.
They lost me at Adriana Lima.
Come on. Mary Steenburgen is 59. Nick Nolte, 71 years old. Ted Koppel, 72. And composer, conductor, music legend John Williams, who gave us so many memorable movie themes, like Star Wars.
Oh, just this?
If he's just done Star Wars, you could just sit back and relax, right? No, I think I will also do the Superman theme from the original Superman movie. I'll do Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, how about Jaws? How about Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Did you enjoy that? How about every good movie ever? I wrote the music for it. Now you can play my flute. That's what he says when he's out in public.
I've never heard him say that.
He's 80. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Ace Man himself, Adam Carolla, on the show later on today. And later this hour, we'll give you a chance to be in the audience Sunday night for the Grammys at Staples Center. And also go to the pre-Grammy show party with Bush on Friday afternoon. So we've got a whole weekend lined up for you. And we'll give you a chance to call in for that in just a few minutes.
There's an article about Mark Wahlberg. The title is Mark Wahlberg, I Cried 7 or 8 Times During The Help.
Please notice what magazine Mark Wahlberg gave this interview to where he confessed he cried in The Help.
I don't see where it is. Why don't you just tell me?
Red Book.
Red
What's
Book.
Going on with Mark Wahlberg? What's he doing? What's happening?
He's doing an interview with Red Book that he thinks will appeal to them.
Yeah.
I guess.
That was sad. That movie was sad in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think so? Did you see
there were some terrible things that happened.
Did you see The Help?
I did. I saw The Help. It's funny. I don't remember. I mean, I remember it being very well done. I remember being emotionally invested in it. I don't remember parts that I came close to crying
But when was the last time you cried? I mean, ever? Have you ever
Well,
cried?
As we're, when
did
we're
you
going
cry as a baby?
When we're going around the room here in a minute, I'm going to tell you about a movie that I cry at every single year that I when I see it.
Every
so there.
Every year.
So go on with Mark
Wahlberg.
Something
to do with an animal.
What was his problem with the
Help? It was his problem. It's just it was an emotional movie, and people are treated very poorly, and it's a tough movie to watch. I can see how he cried through that. But I don't know. It seems like he's tries to have that that tough guy image.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So him coming out and saying he cried at The Help, it's a little, I don't know.
So you don't equate him with the guy in Contraband, is
no,
what you're saying.
No, not at all.
Well, he says in this article it's because of his family, because he has daughters now. That changes his perspective on a lot of things. He says he has a newfound respect for women, and that was what was so difficult for him watching this movie, is seeing the way these ladies were treated. And he's like, hey, I've got women in my house. That's all I've got is women in my house. Don't do it.
That's the movie that I remember crying at the most. And I cry a lot because I'm a freaking baby. But the one that I cried at the most was a Mel Gibson movie. Ransom. No, I'm just kidding. The Patriot. The Patriot. You remember that one where they're fighting?
Yeah. And that one I didn't see.
It's because I have little girls. And there's a little girl in the movie who doesn't talk the whole movie. He keeps trying to get her to talk and stuff, and he's leading this rebellion. And then he's got to go fight, and the little girl comes running out, and this is the first words she spoke. She said, "Don't go, Daddy."
Aww.
And I was literally on the floor, like, pounding and kicking. Don't go, you asshole! So that's one of them that I remember, but that was a while back. Dave, you cried at an animated movie?
Yeah, the movie Up.
Up?
Yeah.
In the first 15
minutes, dude.
What was it that made you cry?
Well, they show the story of the old man, how when he's growing up and he has with the love of his life, and they show that his wife is pregnant, and then she loses the baby. So that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard. And then
they
keep going, and she dies all within the first 15 minutes.
And you're like, I don't know if
I can spoiler alert, by the way, first of all. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
But luckily, you know, I was wearing 3D glasses, so you couldn't really see the tears. So I was cool. I was cool.
How often do you cry at movies, Dave?
I don't cry that often.
So that really stood out for you then.
Yeah. I mean, I don't cry at all in life, you know, let alone
I'm
movies.
Not exaggerating. I probably cry at a movie, and I go to a lot of movies. 10, 12 times a year.
No.
Yeah, I really do.
And that's because the movies you go to are so bad.
Yeah, it could be.
That's why you're crying. What am I doing here? How am I at this?
How am I wasting my life? Movie? No, I'm just super emotional. Not that anyone here can tell, because I usually have a very even keel.
Yes, Lisa? That's what you're famous for.
Oh, wait,
for.
You don't get to play because you're a girl. You're supposed to cry.
I can't remember the last movie I didn't cry at.
Okay, good.
Really?
Muggs, what'd you cry at?
I cried during 127 Hours.
Because he had to cut off his arm? That looked painful?
No, no. Before the part he cut off his arm, he was reminiscing back to his family and how he has to treat him better. It kind of hit home for me.
Because you don't have any contact with your family?
Very, very little.
Yes, and they hate you.
All right, beat you. By the way, we're going to take your calls. We're looking for guys only right now. We want to know the movie or movies that you cried at. And by the way, I'd be curious to know, Mark Wahlberg says he cried 7 or 8 times during one movie. That has to be rare, right?
Well, I would think
every example that I've heard here in the room so far has been you cried at one scene that just pulled at you. You're not weeping. You're not a blubbering mess throughout the whole movie like Wahlberg is. But we want to hear from you, 1-800-520-1067.
I cried when Paul Blart tried to slide behind that big that big sign, and he didn't quite make it.
He was too fat? Yeah.
That broke me up.
I cry every year at my favorite movie of all time, which is the holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life. And it's the scene near, spoiler alert here for a 1946 movie, but it's the scene near the end of the movie where he becomes the richest man in town, where everybody in town hears that he is having problems because his Uncle Billy lost the $8,000. So they all come and give him money, and just person after person comes in and just starts throwing money at him, and he just is overwhelmed with tears and kindness.
And you cry at that every year?
Every year. I get so choked up at that scene just because it's just so beautiful and so unexpected.
But when you say you cry, you mean you feel like crying. You don't cry.
No, I literally, there's moisture on my cheek.
There's never been a tear that's come out of your eye.
Every year I sit down to watch that movie, I go, all right, I'm not going to cry at it this year because I already know what's going to happen. I've seen this movie a million times, but it always gets to me. It's just so well done, and it's so emotional.
So the town makes it rain on this guy, and you're crying.
I am.
Oh, that's true. That's weird because it seems like that's a super happy moment.
Yeah.
You're crying tears of joy?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, it's not sad. It's just I'm overwhelmed with emotion at how much this small town turns out to support one of their own.
All right, we don't have time to take any of these calls right this second.
Oh,
we're going to have to take a break.
Don't be mean.
We're going to have to take a break and come back. But especially Israel, who cried at Dumbo, you hold on. And we'll get to all your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
Wahlberg says he cried 7 or 8 times while watching the film The Help. We're talking about films that guys cry at. Matt writes in, listing online in Augusta, Georgia, every time Kevin Costner asks his dad if he wants to play catch in Field of Dreams, I cry like a baby. Sean writes in, it's The Notebook, you guys. I'm not alone. I had a discussion on Super Bowl Sunday with 4 other guys. We were all defending our crying to the other dudes and the girls at the party. We retold our crying moments and culminated with yelling, he built her a house! If you don't cry at that movie, you have no soul. Sean says The Notebook is the one.
He's right. That's a killer.
The argument should have been, what were all 3 of you doing at The Notebook?
No.
It is weird that every guy at the party saw it, isn't it? But I guess that's one of those movies your girlfriend drags you to.
Sure.
All right, let's get to Israel. You wanted to talk to him first because he cried at Dumbo. We're trying to figure out how that happened. Line 5. Israel, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Cried at Dumbo, huh?
Yeah, well, obviously not at the theater, but when he goes and visits his mom in jail, and she's cuddling him on the on her trunk.
And how'd you feel about yourself after that?
Well, you know, mama's touch is irreplaceable, so yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there who feel that way.
Okay, but it was an animated elephant, though, right? We're not forgetting that.
Israel, were you in jail at one point, and your mom talked to you on her trunk?
I was, but that has nothing to do with
that. No, I'm sure. Okay.
Okay. All right. He's sticking by Dumbo. Let's try Bob on line 4, because we've gotten a few emails from people who cried at the same movie. I want to find out what's up. Bob, thank you for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Bob.
Lisa May.
Talking about guys that cried at movies.
I cried at Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3?
Yeah, the part at the end where they're like all like in the trash place.
Yes,
that's a touching part.
It's really,
you don't cry, you don't have a soul.
That's what all the guys are going to say.
Every single guy that cries says, if you don't cry at that, you don't have a soul.
I cried at that.
I was on a date, so I was kind of willing to show my sensitive side.
Oh, nice! You're showing off.
Lucky.
Yeah. Did it help?
You know. Yeah, right. It helped. I'm still with her. So.
Right, there you go, guys.
Excellent.
Thank you for the call. Lisa, if you're on a date with a guy and he cries at a movie, is that point for or point against?
It depends. It depends on the scene. But yeah, if it's a really touching scene, that's point for, because I feel stupid crying by myself.
All right, how about if you're Kevin from Marina Del Rey, who writes in, when Amber Heard turned into a zombie in Zombieland, I started to cry when I realized there was no chance she would be getting naked at any point in the rest of the movie. What about that? If he cries at that
date.
That's worth crying. Let's talk to Josh and find out. Hey, Josh, what did you cry at?
How can I top that last one, the Amber Heard one?
You can't.
I cried at Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Yes.
Forrest Gump. At the end, like after she dies, and he's at the.
Just stop! I love you, Jenna. Like, it just gets me every time.
I'm sorry. Can I hear the impression again?
I love you, Jenna.
I just cried just now.
It is. Thank you for the call, Josh. It is funny that, I mean, that movie is what, like 15 years old or something like that, and it still sticks with him. Hey, guys, my wife and I both cried at Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 both times we saw it. Watching all these characters die that we've grown to love over the past 10 years in the books and on screen was very emotional. We kept it on the down low in theaters, but when we watched it on Blu-ray at home, we were blubbering on the couch like little babies. Keep up the good work, Colin. And then from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, John writes in, I cried during the scene in Karate Kid 3 when Daniel yelled at Mr. Miyagi. I also cried at the end of 50-50. I now need to go and find my balls.
Let's go to Mitchell. Hi, Mitchell.
How's it going?
I remember crying at this movie. Go ahead.
So I cried really hard at Million Dollar Baby. I took a date there, and I could not stop from the point where the chair hit the back of her neck until she was put down by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put down. I like that.
Put down. Yeah. Just took out his gun and put her down.
It was brutal.
That was a very emotional movie. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Brian, because I'm having trouble even understanding. Oh, no, I'm not having trouble understanding this. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Brian.
You cried at what movie?
The end of Armageddon, where Bruce Willis gets to talk to his daughter.
Because
Tyler
of Ben Affleck's acting?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that part gets me every time.
That got me too, and it was ridiculous because it's such a dumb movie. Well, I love it. Don't get me wrong. It's one of the movies that's dumb that I love, but they do. They fly up onto a meteor, and they try to, you know, explode it before it hits the Earth, and then he's talking to his little girl, and he's saying goodbye, and she's like, no, 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 no.
It's a terrible movie, but yet I have to watch it every time.
I do, too. Same thing. That's another call-in topic. Terrible movies that you have to watch every time.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. Let's do just one more and make it Dirk. He's on line 3. I find this very difficult to believe. I hope he's just calling to be funny.
Hey, Dirk.
Hey, yeah. What's up, guys?
Hi, Dirk.
What'd you cry at?
I cried at My Dog Skip.
My Dog Skip. What the hell is that?
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's you know who's in it? Who stars in it? Is what's that? The kid from Malcolm in the Middle?
Frankie Muniz?
Yeah, he's like, how old is he in that, honey? Like 9 years old?
Don't call me honey. Yeah, we don't even know each other.
So he's not talking to you. He's talking to his
wife. Oh, sorry. My Dog Skip, though. What happens? You don't sound like you're going to bring this to life, no matter how long we stay on the phone with you. But just let's roll the dice here. What happens that makes you cry?
Okay, at the end, it's about a kid. He grows up with his dog, and the kid goes to college. And at the end, when he's in college, he gets a letter that his dog died. So, But I got a better one than that. I got a better one.
Well,
than
why
that.
Do you start with the better one?
Because my wife just reminded me, you guys, I cried at the halftime show when Madonna was up there.
What?
Okay. Wait a minute. You mean you're being funny?
He's being funny.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Wait. You're being funny, though. You're saying because it was so bad, you were crying.
No, it was, I'm a veteran, and I guess I get all patriotic, man. And when the marching band came out,
no
I
kidding.
Just...
Oh, if you're a veteran, we can't make fun of you, but wow, do I want to?
Wow,
I want to make fun of you so much. You cried
thanks,
at the Madonna halftime
the
show.
It wasn't like the guy, it wasn't like soldiers in uniform carrying flags. I mean, they were dressed up like Trojans. I mean, there was old-time Roman stuff is what it was. That doesn't even make any sense.
I think, take back what I said, Dirk. You're a pussy.
I think Dirk got some sort of head damage over there. Let's close with this one. Steve writes in, Kevin, you'll appreciate this. I cried during The Artist. No sound, no color. What's up? All right. We need to clear the lines right now and open them right back up again. Same number, 1-800-520-1067. This time, though, you call and you try to earn your way into the pre-Grammy party on Friday with the band Bush performing live, and you get tickets to the actual show, the 54th Annual Grammy Awards Sunday night at Staples Center. We're looking for Foo Fighters fans this time. That's a hint. If you like the Foo Fighters, and of course, they're performing on the show this year and are nominated for some Grammys too. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You can win your Grammy tickets next. The Grammy Awards are going to be on CBS television this Sunday night. It's the biggest night of music, one of the best shows of the year on television of any of the award shows, because it's just basically wall-to-wall performances. Now, Kevin, you're not going to be excited about everybody that gets up there to sing.
No, I'm not.
I know, you know, when your Paul McCartney takes the stage, maybe that's not for you.
No,
but your little girlfriend Katy Perry is going to be performing.
Good enough.
Foo Fighters are going to be performing.
Favorite bands?
Adele. This could be Adele's first appearance. Ooh, first singing appearance in months since she had that surgery on her vocal cords. We're very excited about Foo Fighters. They're one of the few bands that's out there that's still flying the rock flag and still getting some notice and still selling records. And they are not only performing with Deadmau5, by the way, which is going to be awesome.
If you haven't heard that remix of Rope, you must listen to it now. It's great.
And they are also nominated for a bunch of Grammys this year, and that's why we thought it might be appropriate to use the Foo Fighters and find Foo Fighters fans at 1-800-520-1067 to win your Grammy tickets with the hardest game in the world, too.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Mr. Announcer Man, good morning. Oh, hello, Mr. Announcer Man.
There.
Hey, there you are. What's going on, Mr. Announcer Man?
Why don't you want me on the show?
Mr. Announcer Man, we have callers on the line ready to play to try to get in the drawing to see the Foo Fighters at the Grammys this weekend. But how's this game played?
Well, we'll be playing for you songs by Foo Fighters. All you need to do is identify the song.
Seems easy.
Oh, wait, I forgot. It'll be backwards.
Now, this isn't the name of the song. This is the actual music backwards.
That's right. We'll be playing the songs of Foo Fighters.
All right.
All you need to do is identify them. Oh, wait, I forgot. They'll be backwards.
This does not sound easy, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's the hardest game in the world, too. Die Harder, Electric Boogaloo.
Who is our first contestant? I'm curious to see how this goes.
First up is Jessica. She's a teacher's assistant. Pass out those pencils.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to the hardest game in the world, too. Are you ready for your song? Now, we're only going to be able to play these once.
Okay.
And it's going to be backwards, and then you have to identify what Foo Fighter song it is. Are you ready?
Yes, already.
Right, here you go.
That's every Foo Fighter song ever is what that is.
I don't know. I just couldn't really hear it over my phone.
Gonna have to take a guess. Guess a Foo Fighter song.
Okay, any title.
Any song they do.
Guess.
Any song.
Wrong.
You can't win if you don't guess at least.
All my life is the name of it. Thanks for playing the game. Bye now.
Wow. No time
guessing. She's not going to... You can't come up with one Foo Fighter song?
I'm just saying. Does she owe you money?
No.
Why do you hate Jessica?
Because she couldn't come up with a single Foo Fighter
song. All right. Well, give her another 10 seconds, for God's sake. You got a plane to catch?
Who else? Here's a hint. If you do get on the air to play the game, even if you don't know, just go ahead and take a stab at it.
And
just
do it quick, or Kevin will hang up on you.
I gave her plenty of time.
Next up is Denise. She's a substitute teacher. Wonder if Jessica could assist her.
Hey, Denise.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Good morning. Yeah, I think so.
Here's your song backwards. Good luck.
This is not easy.
Monkey Wrench?
Yes!
Yes!
Nicely done.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
See how
thank
that
you,
works?
Denise. Hang on. You are in the drawing.
Did
we'll
she
find out.
Quick enough for you, Kevin?
Yeah, within a half hour, she could name one song by the band.
Even a half hour.
Punch you right in the face, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Jose. He's a truck driver.
Jose. Are you ready for your song?
Yes, I am.
There you go. Somebody's alarm goes off right in the middle of that.
Yeah, wow, I caught none of that. But I'm going to just go ahead and say Everlong.
See how he did that? He guessed the song that was from Foo Fighters, and it was... Correct.
Good job.
Nice to well done, Jose. Oh, wow.
Hardest game in the world. Two out of three so far have gotten it. We got time for maybe two more contestants, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Bianca. She works in construction. I'd like to be on that job site.
Hey, Bianca.
Hi.
Are you turned on by Mr. Announcer Man?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. He's very sexy.
Here's your Foo Fighters song. Good luck.
That's just a mess. That's just a bloody noisy mess is what that is. What song do you think that might be, Bianca?
Oh, my God. That was a mess. I'm going to say One of These Days.
Sorry, that was rope.
Sorry about that. All right,
one more, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Chuck Bobok Banana Banana
Bo. Right. Can't finish that.
He's a physical therapist. Good, I got a pain right here.
Hey, Chuck.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
And by here, I mean right here.
I think we know.
Okay, that's fine.
You can't see where I'm pointing, but it's right here.
Where's the money, Mary? Where's the money? What did Billy do with the money, Mary?
Oh, see, come on. Don't make me cry.
I just wanted Bean cry.
Chuck is trying to see Bean cry. That's the line from the movie.
That's not fair. That's working a little bit, too. All right, Chuck, listen up. You're our last contestant to get into the drawing for Grammy tickets and the pre-Grammy party Friday. Here's your Foo Fighters song backwards.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
not an easy game, I'll tell you that.
Hardest game in the world, too?
That's very hard. How about The Pretender?
Nope. It sounds like easier. Sorry, dude.
Times like these. Nice try, though. Thank you for the comedy. We appreciate it anyway. So two in the drawing. It's going to be Denise or Jose to win the prize package. Who wins, Lisa
May? The winner is Denise.
Denise!
Yes!
Denise! Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Yay!
You are a winner. You get to see Bush. You get to go to the pre-party. You get to go to the Grammys as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for playing. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
That was the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. Coming next summer, the hardest game in the world, 3D.
I'm happy to say that our website, KROQ.com and KevinBean.com, is responsible for wasting more man hours in Southern California offices than maybe any other website because of the Internet Roundup. And we got a brand new one for you with like 25 new videos for you to check out. We'll tell you about coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to... What do I got going on here? There we go. So Kevin needs help with the buttons today. Someone help him.
Look, we're in a new studio. We have all new equipment, and I can't get used to the buttons. Mm. They're all completely different.
Mm.
Now, they have
is
been
there
the
an
same,
answer for that?
They have been the same for 3 weeks, but I...
Right.
You know, at some point,
we know every day is a brand new day for Kevin.
It is.
So
it is.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Robert Downey Jr. and his wife, Susan. They've got a brand new baby boy, Exton Elias Downey.
I'm sorry?
Exton Elias or Elias, depending, and Downey being, of course, the last name. Exton. Elias Downey.
That's not a good name.
Exton.
X's, by the way, I understand, you know, from the baby name websites, that X names are very hot this year for some reason.
This
a lot of Xanders, a lot of...
This is
no.
E-X-T-O-N.
Right, but it's the sound, the X sound.
No, X sound would be Z, like Xander.
But right. But I'm saying, never mind.
But my question is, what are you doing on the baby naming websites?
Oh, you know,
websites?
All the baby name websites say it.
I like to stay current.
But this is a guy who's never going to have a kid. Why would he
but
be
he has
on
so
a...
many animals, Kevin. Where's he going to come up with the names for all of them?
Baby naming website.
You can only name so many animals after candies.
Ralph, you have a girl. Did you go to that website?
No, sir, did not. Okay. Never perused the baby name websites.
I met a little kid the other day whose name is Xylus. With an X, by the way. What kind of name is that?
I hope you punched him. Hope you did the right thing.
Oh, you don't punch a kid.
What?
You don't punch a kid.
What do if they have a dumb name and their parents not around?
No.
So Exton is the name, huh?
Yep. Exton is 7 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches long, and has a little suit that's nuclear powered. He gets to fly around in.
Is that right?
Awesome. Yeah, he's got a little baby Iron Man suit.
I like it.
I'm not looking forward to the adventures.
Another topic.
Another
topic.
Topic we do someday. What did you give up for love? Rachel Weisz gave up a lifelong dream when she said I do to Daniel Craig. One of her longtime wishes was to be a Bond girl. She always wanted to play a dangerous woman in a James Bond film. But now those days are over because the producers and the couple themselves have said they don't want to put their real life romance up on the screen.
Ah, well, they should just break up.
And, you know, show off their affection publicly as a screen couple. So as long as Daniel Craig is James Bond, Rachel will never be a Bond girl. She's given up her...
me towards tomorrow.
No idea what you're singing right now.
We did what we had to do.
Or why.
But I won't forget what I did for love.
Where's the outrage there?
What I did for love. Look, my eyes are dry.
Right. Okay, all right.
Lisa, you know that song, right?
Of course I know that song.
Oh, thank God
heart.
Lisa's here. Lisa's here, my musical theater compadre.
That I don't even know what that is.
That Kevin is from the legendary musical, A Chorus Line. Hmm. For my next selection, I'd like to do a little something from...
nothing.
Brigadoon.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Oh, come on, Larry. Today's celebrity birthdays, ABC News anchor Ted Koppel, 72 years old today. Composer, conductor, film score legend John Williams, 80 years old. What a body of work when you think about what that
guy's done. He's done some stuff.
I can't think of anybody that's more synonymous with movie music than John Williams.
No, he's the best.
Nick Nolte, 71 years old today. Great actor. Currently can be seen in Luck on Showtime, on HBO rather, and nominated for a Best Supporting Actor.
I cried at that movie with Nick Nolte.
The Warrior.
With The Warrior.
I cried at The Warrior.
Yep. That scene with him where he goes off the bandwagon is one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
When we
Kevin said he... Listen to me, Reggie. We're not partners. We're not friends, okay? You're going back to jail and this is all over.
That's that part? That's Trading Places.
Or 48
hours, whichever one it is. Yeah.
Don't say. That's what my rule of thumb
this
is.
It's not The Warrior.
No, it's not The Warrior. Yeah. Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 51. Mary Steenburgen, or Bergen. I've always get those two confused. But she's married to Ted Danson. I know that much. Mm-hmm. And she's a talented actress. She's 59. Mary McCormick, star of In Plain Sight on USA. She's 43. Seth Green, Austin Powers, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Robot Chicken, Family Guy. What a career.
Seth Green.
Our little friend Seth Green has had 38 years old. Phoenix from Linkin Park, 35. Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 27 years old. And Bethany Hamilton, one-armed surfer. She's 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If I could turn your attention to KROQ.com and KevinandBean.com for just a moment, got a lot of reasons for you to visit there today, including Kevin put up a post about his Romanian girlfriend, the supermodel who starred in the Audi commercial at the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah, you may want to look at that.
Yeah, yes.
That's a lot of pictures.
You put a lot of time and effort onto very few things on this show, except when it comes to galleries of hot chicks for the website. For some reason, you've got unlimited hours for that.
Well, I just try to make them good, Bean. That's all. I'm about perfection.
Plus, you'll hear the interview we did with a reporter for the New York Daily News yesterday, and I think we've got his support for our plan to get Weird Al to play next year's Super Bowl halftime show. So you definitely want to check that out and find out what you can do to help. Speaking of the internet, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to KROQ.com. KevinandBean.com. You can see the internet roundup. We have a bunch of videos up for you today, including a kid that makes a game-winning basket for the wrong team.
Aw, that's a bummer.
Which is awesome. And then Mug said, I did that. That was outrageous. we have a bunch up there that we can't really feature with audio. A bunch of drunk guys and a bunch of drunk girls doing stuff that's always funny. But we do have some stuff that we can feature with audio. One is Nicki Minaj, Slow Down. Sounds like Jay-Z. Nicki Minaj, Slow Down. Sounds like Jay-Z.
This one is for the boys with the booming system. Top town AC with the coolest system. When he come up in the club, he be blazing up. Got stacks on deck like he's saving up. And he ill, he real, he might got a deal.
It sounds just like him. Wow.
I have to agree with them. That's right.
How bizarre is that?
And it makes sense because she's got that real high-pitched voice and she sings really, really fast. So slow it down, boom. Instant Tahova. There you go.
This is the karate rap. I believe this was done in the mid-80s when they were making videos for everything. And this is a couple of people, a group making a video about karate.
I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but I've trained karate from coast to coast.
Karate. Train your body.
High quality.
I've done the kung fu, the show and roo. I even did a little jujitsu. Karate. Train your body.
So that's what all rap sounded like in the 80s, too, by the way.
It did, yes. In 1985, the Chicago Bears went undefeated, and they did the Super Bowl shuffle.
You know, we're just strutting for fun, strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
Well, that was something. I mean, that was a number one hit, wasn't it, Bean?
No, it did make the top 40, though, and did sell a million copies. It was a big hit for them.
This is the sex offender shuffle. Which is very, very funny if you go to kevinandme.com or krock.com, the Internet Roundup.
State of Florida has asked us to disclose our sexual crimes to you. We were bad, but now we're good. We're moving into your neighborhood. You know we're trying our best to be functioning members of society. We're not here to start a little trouble. We're leaving your required to do the sex offender shuffle.
I'm Larry Arthauer, and I'll refrain from touching my neighbor's kids again. What I did was not too kind, but I'm a nice guy, you'll come to find. I've got a backyard and a real nice pool. Y'all should come over for a barbecue. We can make some cold drinks in my blender, but do keep in mind that I'm a sex offender.
Okay. God. I don't know why that needs to exist. That's just creepy.
Women for Eli Manning. This came out before the Super Bowl, but it was hosted by Allison Hayslip, who's one of our favorites from G4.
Eli doesn't make ads for date rape scented cologne. Eli's cologne smells like Eli. It's good. In my dream date with Eli, he takes me to see the latest Sandra Bullock rom-com, Dinner at Applebee's, then gives me a firm handshake at my door.
Let's stop going for the asshole, ladies, and support the good guy, Eli Manning.
There you go.
How about that?
Very nice.
Maybe in response to that that poll that people put out saying that they would rather have married women would rather have sex with Eli.
I have to tell you that what I know about Eli Manning is mostly when we talk to our Eli. I watched him on the Letterman show the other night. He is very personable and very likable. But you don't see him, you know, outside of the football field very often, but he acts as a great personality. Seems like a nice guy.
But he is a mouth breather.
Yes, he is a little bit. A little bit slow.
Two gays, one Super Bowl is the name of this. In a couple of minutes, they watch and comment on the entire Super Bowl. This is the halftime part.
How come Madonna's always sitting on people? Get her a chair.
She's tired. Jesus, retire.
She needs one of those scooter things that fat people in Walmart ride.
Walmart's gross.
Richard Simmons, when did you die? You're an angel now? Aw.
That was a kid on the guy on the wire.
With yes. The oldies.
She needs to manscape. That's gross.
Worst wheelbarrow ever.
Rude. Is that Gwen Stefani?
No, it's not Madonna.
They raised the age limit on cheerleading.
That's great.
It's very funny. Jimmy Kimmel's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This campaign is about more than replacing a president. It's about s***ing the of America.
Which football player did Kim Kardashian...
Which team or which player?
So you got that. Now, I don't know if this is real. I think this kid is screwing with the moderator of the spelling bee. You'll have to make up your own minds. The clip is extraordinarily long because it gets funnier as he goes. The word is heron, H-E-R-O-N.
Which is a bird.
Right, and if you're a spelling contestant, it looks like he's one of the finalists, you would know that pretty easily.
That'd be an easier word,
so
yeah.
You tell me, but I think he's effing with the moderator, the woman who's actually giving him the word.
Heron.
May please be the word?
Heron.
May please give the definition. Please give me the definition.
A wading bird that has a long neck and legs, a long tapering bill with a sharp point and sharp cutting edges, large wings, and soft plumage.
May please be the word?
Heron.
May you please use in a sentence?
If Gail had not seen the heron fly down from the tree, she would have insisted that the huge bird nested on the ground.
Now, he knows it by now, right?
Yes, he knows it's a bird. Yeah.
Because of the two sentences, you know exactly what she's talking about.
May please be the word?
Heron.
Hairwink?
Heron.
Hair row?
Heron.
Hairline?
Oh, my God. See, it's got to be effing with her.
Yeah.
Heron.
Hurling?
Heron.
Herring?
And she has to take it seriously.
Heron.
Herring.
Heron.
Herring?
Heron.
Heron?
Heron.
Heron? May peace be the word, please.
Heron.
May peace give me the definition.
Oh, come on.
A wading bird that has a long neck and legs, a long tapering bill with a sharp point and sharp cutting edges.
Heron. H-E-R-O-N. Heron.
What? You got it, yeah.
He knew it. He knew it before he asked any of those questions.
I think so, too. That's great. Go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean, the Internet Round.
Kevin and Bean, the Internet Round.
Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll catch up with our friend Adam Carolla. At some point, we're going to have to get him to start spilling the beans about being on Celebrity Apprentice, by the way. I know it hasn't aired yet. It doesn't come on for a couple of weeks, but he's on a TV show with Lisa Lampanelli and Clay Aiken. How did that happen in the world?
And Penn Jillette and a bunch of weird Celebrities.
It's a great show. All right, here's a here's an update on a story we talked about yesterday on the show. Thanks to our friend Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Bee who brought this to our attention. But there is a group called the American Family Association. Brian Fisher is their spokesperson. We've got some audio we're going to play of him talking to a woman named Monica Cole. She is with a subgroup of the American Family Association called 1 Million Moms. And the one thing that they agree on in this clip you'll see is that we got to stop shopping at JCPenney. JCPenney needs to be off the list because they hired one of them gays to represent them. They've got Ellen DeGeneres as a spokesperson for JCPenney right now. So clearly they don't represent American values. So let's listen to a little bit what they have to say. And then we've got Ellen's response for you that hasn't even aired yet. Listen.
JCPenney has deliberately made a choice to make the public face of their company a woman who models behavior, which is destructive and out of alignment with the laws of nature and nature's God.
We asked JCPenney to just remain neutral in the culture war. We asked that they replace Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesperson, and by doing this, they would be remaining neutral in the culture war because she is a gay activist, and she makes no secret to this. She's very open about this in her lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's certainly not like they couldn't find any other well-known spokespeople. Right. I mean, there are tons of heterosexual people out there that could easily serve as a spokesman. So this had to be a very, very deliberate choice on their part.
We would like to ask that you kill yourselves.
Yes, we
well,
would.
I don't think I'm going to go that far. I would.
I'm not saying any of us do it. I'm saying they should take their own lives. And I'm fine with that.
Do you think of Ellen DeGeneres as a gay activist,
no,
by the way? I don't.
Stupid.
They think if anybody speaks out about their life in any way that's not the life that they think they should have, then they're activists.
Which, by the way, she's not doing commercials for JCPenney where she goes, if you'd like to look gay like me.
No.
I mean, come on.
And if they pick a straight person who says, hey, I'm married and I like it, are they a straight person activist?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. I don't know. Although it wouldn't kill Ellen to wear a dress once in a while. I will add that. I might agree with them on that.
But I love Ellen. I really do. I think she's funny.
And I love her
she's
not
nice.
In a dress. And I don't mean it that way.
She's fantastic. Yeah, I think she's a great spokesperson. I think that's a great fit with JCPenney. And I hope that people will shop at JCPenney to support them for sticking by Ellen. These people that we've just been listening to, I mean, they are calling for a boycott. They are calling for Americans to, you know, bombard JCPenney stores with calls and let them know that they're not going to shop there because of Ellen. I think we need to go the other way and start shopping at JCPenney to support them for sticking with Ellen.
And anyone can call JCPenney and say, keep Ellen as your spokesperson. Yeah. And I will keep, you know, coming to your establishment.
So Ellen taped a bit that is going to air on today's Ellen DeGeneres show, I guess. It has not aired yet, but it's the first time that she has spoken about this protest against her as the representative for JCPenney. I thought it might be interesting to hear how she handles it.
There's a group called 1 Million Moms that is not happy about it. This organization doesn't think that I should be the spokesperson because I'm gay. So for those of you just tuning in for the first time, it's true, I'm gay. I hope you're sitting down. I hate to break it to you this way, but anyway. So they wanted to get me fired, and I am proud and happy to say that JCPenney stuck by their decision to make me their spokesperson. I mean, if they have a problem with spokespeople, what about the Pillsbury Doughboy? I mean, he runs around without any pants on and basically begging for people to poke his belly. What kind of message is that, you know? The group has posted a message on their Facebook page, and I would like you, we'll read it together. By jumping on the pro-gay bandwagon, JCPenney is attempting to gain a new target market and in the process will lose customers with traditional values that have been faithful to them over all these years. The majority of JCPenney shoppers will be offended and choose to no longer shop there. Well,
I like that first woman who yelled, "Bow!"
First of all, being gay or pro-gay is not a bandwagon. You don't get a free ride anywhere. There's no music, and occasionally we'll sing We Are Family, but that's about it. Secondly, they said a majority of the JCPenney shoppers will be offended and not shop there anymore. I would like to read just a few comments from the Million Moms Facebook page. This is on their page. And not that there's anyone counting, but for a group that calls themselves the Million Moms, they only have 40,000 members on their page. So they're rounding to the nearest million, and I get that. Anyway, here are some of the comments that people have written on their Facebook page. The first one is, love Ellen and everything she stands for. I'm going to shop there more now. Finally, I'm a Christian and part of a traditional family, and I support Ellen and now JCPenney. I usually don't talk about stuff like this on my show, but I really want to thank everyone who is supporting me. And if you don't know me very well, if you're just watching maybe for the first time or you're just getting to know me, I want to be clear. And here are the values that I stand for. I stand for honesty, equality, kindness, compassion, treating people the way you want to be treated, and helping those in need. To me, those are traditional values. That's what I stand for.
Oh, and making your kids gay.
Very well done. And I would just like, I just like to add this, by the way. I would be whatever I had to be in order to marry Portia de Rossi. If you, it takes being gay to get Portia de Rossi, be gay. How can anyone blame her for that?
I don't think that's the point. I got an email from a gay guy saying, a gay girl, I'm sorry, saying mm-hmm. thank you for standing up for us. And I felt like saying, look, when we're the ones standing up, we're a-holes. If we're standing up against something, really everybody else should already be there.
Yeah.
Because you don't thank us for being out in the lead on this, for God's sake.
Try not to do that.
This should make everybody angry, and this should be have already gotten to you by this point. But if it hasn't, call or go visit JCPenney and let them know that you support Ellen and that this is a ridiculous group, this AFA.
Looking forward to The Offspring coming back, by the way. I know they're in the studio working hard on a new record right now. I hope that comes out soon. It'd be great to have new Offspring music this summer, wouldn't it?
I agree.
Right, we were talking here on the Kevin and Bean Show earlier this week, maybe even yesterday, about missed opportunities. You had the chance to get on the ground floor of something, or you just missed something fantastic, and we were inviting your calls and emails, and that's what kicks off this email segment here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. I got a couple of people who will never, never forget what they didn't do. Hi, Bean. I was driving when the subject was discussed, but I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Some good friends of mine who are now divorced missed two golden opportunities, which might explain why they're now divorced. First, the wife's employer gave them the opportunity to purchase a luxury condo in L.A. The selling price was $150,000 a location, right across the street from what is now known as the Staples Center.
Oh, wow.
Her $150,000 to own a condo down there. Her husband, a wealthy perpetual renter, said no. At the top of the market, that condo sold for well over $1 million. That was strike one. Strike two, shortly after that opportunity, his client approached him about investing in a new donut company. She told him how ridiculous he sounded and refused the offer to get in at the beginning of what became Krispy Kreme. That's from Fonda. By the way, so many people we heard from had the opportunity to buy stock or get an ownership piece of a company that they just thought they just didn't have any confidence in, and it ended on to become something.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
Like Lewis, for instance. I was listening to Monday's podcast, reminded of the biggest opportunity I missed out on. A friend tipped me to a job opening at a new company called Facebook. They were looking for advertising agents, but you had to relocate to the Bay Area. Needless to say, I did not want to relocate, so I passed. Well, as you know, Facebook is now going public. My friend is going to be an instant millionaire from being an early employee. I am still stuck at the same dead-end job, and yes, he is constantly reminding me about it. Loyal listener, Lewis.
Oh, oops. That hurts.
We were just talking about the movies that guys cry at a little bit earlier today. Myrna writes, Kevin, did you not cry at The Warrior? I did actually cry at The Warrior, yeah. Nick Nolte. That's when I said he was going to be nominated for an Oscar. Here's a guy, Brian, who writes, I don't cry during movies very often, but I always cry during, and please don't hate me for watching a Ryan Reynolds movie, Definitely Maybe.
Which one was that?
I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds in Definitely Maybe? Lisa, any help?
I don't know either.
I'll continue, and maybe it'll clarify something. Okay. I cry during the scene when recently divorced Ryan Reynolds tells his daughter, Abigail Breslin, that she is the happy ending to his love story.
Oh, they're trying to figure out she's trying to figure out who her mother is.
Dumb. Oh. I know. Please accept my apology. And finally, dear Kevin and Bean, crying at the movie. Hey, guys, I cried at Curious George when they took him away from the man with the yellow hat.
Oh.
Well, that's very emotional.
Come
please.
On.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Tara writes in, I'm a loyal podcast listener in the great frozen white north of Canada. I've been listening to your show for years. Every morning at work, I've always loved it. Well, I'm 14 weeks pregnant, and I have been experiencing some pretty bad morning sickness. I thought I had been feeling better lately until you guys did the burping contest the other day. Remember, Lisa, your
that
great idea
me.
To have listeners call in and
that
see how long
me.
They could burp for?
Way to go, Lisa.
Well, Tara wants you to know she probably barfed up her yogurt at her desk listening to those people burp away. I was feeling a little bit better the next day, and then you came on the air and started talking about that huge ball of chewed Nicorette gum. Remember that guy who lives in Orange County or something like that who's been collecting every stick of Nicorette gum in one giant ball?
Yeah.
Then later the same show, you were talking about Fear Factor and the contestants drinking donkey semen. Come on. I'm gagging as I type this. Please, guys, I'm begging. No more disgusting talk till after I have the baby. My body can't take it. Give me Bean's Death Corner all day, every day, but no more of this. Love you guys, Tara.
She didn't give us a date that we have to hold off to?
She's 14 weeks pregnant so it sounds like we got a few months she wants us to hold off, and I don't know if we can do that. I'm sorry.
Finally, dear Kevin and Bean, this might be the toughest time in the NBA schedule for the Lakers and the Clippers, and no mention of the Grammy road trip because the Grammys take over Staples Center. And they set up the staging and all that kind of stuff.
So the basketball teams have to be out of town.
Clippers
and
Lakers both have to be out of town for at least, it's about a week. Did I mention the Lakers are 1-2 on the trip so far? And the Clippers are 2-0. Actually, they're on a 4-game winning streak on the road and are going to make it 5 tonight in Cleveland. So why don't you guys jump on the Lob City bandwagon, give the Clippers some props, and play the King of Mexico's Clippers song, Suck It Kevin, and then it's labeled Schmave.
Schmave?
So that
the email came from Schmave?
So that we won't know that Schmave is Dave, the King of Mexico, who's asking for his own song to be played. But I guess that's fair since Clippers are doing well.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Laker fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City. Ball so hard, this is weird. Clippers not supposed to be here. Ball so hard, since we here, you know it's going to be the Clippers' year. CP3 and Chauncey, all-stars. Take your pick. Butler, Griffin, Jordan, our team is sick.
The Lakers! It's over.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Blake goes up, you know it's going to find them. CP3. 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 Dre goes up, you know it's going to find them. CP3. And Chauncey.
Nope.
Lob City. Clippers in the zone. Staples Center, our home. You're about to get on. Lakers be dethroned. That's right. Clipper Nation, rise up. 2012 is our year. Shout-outs to Clipper Darryl, DJ Dance. I see you, Dance. What up, Fung? Dave, the King of Mexico. DJ Omar Khan. Clipper Nation forever. Suck it, Kevin.
Thanks for the note, Schmave. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show, and then Ralph's old roommate, Adam Carolla, joins us after 9 o'clock with This Week in Rage. What's going on, Ralph?
That is how Adam says.
I like pie.
I have a complaint with air.
I don't like water. Why is it so wet? Remember when we were young and we used to have dry water? Kids today, they don't know.
He has made a career out of hating everything.
He does hate little things.
Wanderlust is the name of a new movie starring Paul Rudd, Jennifer Aniston, Malin Ackerman, and many, many more funny people. It opens in theaters everywhere February the 24th, which is a Friday. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, and why wouldn't you? It looks hilarious. Thursday, February the 23rd is the date of our very special K-Rock Advance screening, if you'd like to go. First two callers right now who get through at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get a pair of passes to the special K-Rock Advanced screening of Wanderlust. I'm really looking forward to this film.
Looks good.
They look like a good team, that Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. I'm trying to think if they've worked together before. I can't remember them, but this looks familiar.
I'll see Paul Rudd in anything. Pairing.
Yeah, he's always good. Very, very funny guy. Poor Lana Del Rey. Can't catch a break. She now is being accused of canceling her tour because she had such a horrible performance on Saturday Night Live and then not a good performance on Letterman.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe she's not ready.
Look, why should not being able to perform live get in the way of touring? That's what I always say.
That's a good point.
Oh, wait a minute. Her representatives say she was never scheduled to do a spring tour. So it wasn't that they were postponing it or canceling it. She never was scheduled to perform live this spring.
Can she not sing live?
Not yet. But maybe someday. They have to send her to band camp or something. See if she can work on her public
I'd love to hear
presence.
From anyone who went to the Amoeba Records in-store last night that she was doing. I understand she was performing a couple of numbers there and then signing autographs. I wonder how she did.
Apparently that is the concept, is to have her do a smattering of in-store appearances and some tiny small venues. That will be her limited public exposure for at least the foreseeable future.
I have some audio from Saturday Night Live for people who missed it. This is Lana Del Rey.
Okay. Yeah, see?
That's not polished.
The crowd's not reacting well either.
What is that?
It looks sort of anything just, like herself.
They look confused.
I don't even know what's happening.
Her publicist says she's been extremely active in Europe, Yeah, sure. They love her in Europe, where she's been performing in support of her LP, Born to Die. The album is enjoying historic success, according to her publicist. I want this publicist. No, that's all I know.
Historic success.
Ralph had a historic showbiz beat earlier today.
I think it is doing. It is doing well. I mean, it is number one in Britain and some other countries in Europe. So I think it is selling well. But that's hardly.
There's never been a number one album before.
Yeah,
in
lots of records are number one. That doesn't make it historic. But yeah. I think you would like this album, Ralph.
I've heard. I enjoy it in sort of a pseudo, not quite as good Tori Amos kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Fine. It's enjoyable. She's great to look at. She's a sexy lady.
Yeah.
She's got that going for her.
I don't get why there's so much hate for Lana Del Rey. That's what's perplexing to me. Well, maybe that's part of it.
Could be this. I think there's a certain hipster backlash, perhaps.
Absolutely, there's a hipster backlash.
Because she was sort of like the cool, hip video online thing. It was sort of a viral thing for people to say, look at her videos.
Oh, I see.
So
you were hip if you knew about her?
Yeah. And then everybody was sort of told, it's so cool, it's so cool, it's so cool. And then she got on stage and she wasn't good. And everybody's like, ha, ha. They're pointing at all the people in the horn rim glasses who said that she was great and saying, not so much. See? It sounds good to me.
She sounds polished. I don't know.
I say bad on her management for letting her go out there without her chops.
You can't sing yet. Let's work on that just a little.
You sound good on the record studio you own. The live venue. Perhaps we need to get you some work. Clint Eastwood's getting bashed by the Republicans for his commercial during the Super Bowl. For Chrysler. Republicans saying it was a political statement and he's a mouthpiece for President Obama. The irony is Eastwood identifies himself as a Republican and a libertarian.
Okay.
Two things that are not Democrat.
Right. Both are decidedly not Democratic.
Yes.
Right.
He said, I'm certainly not politically affiliated with President Obama. It was just meant to be a message about job growth and the spirit of America. I think all politicians would agree with that. I thought the spirit of the commercial was okay.
Has there ever been one thing that hasn't offended somebody?
There's no spin in the ad. On this, I am certain. I'm not supporting any politician at this time, he says. Meanwhile, Karl Rove, who often is a mouthpiece for the right, says he was offended by the commercial. did Clint flip off the camera while I turned away during that spot?
He turned around and mooned it? You were offended.
He'd be offended.
What offends Karl Rove, by the way?
It did seem like the kind of thing that... I see where people are coming from in that it seemed campaigny with halftime in America and America's coming back and stuff like that. It's the type of thing a politician would say. But I think you're right, Ralph, and I think Clint is right when he says he was applying it to automaking in Detroit. That's all he was talking about. He wasn't talking about
and if
who's
there's
in the White
one
House.
Issue that all politicians should be able to agree on, isn't it? America coming back?
I would hope.
American jobs. Employment and jobs and American products being sold and bought? I would think that would be on the table for debate.
But the hardcore Republicans don't want that out.
They don't want anything. I'm guessing
they don't want that out there because that supports
anything
Obama.
Remotely positive while he's still president is bad for them.
I think. So.
This will drive you crazy, Kevin, but I had lunch the other day with a mutual friend of ours who's a hardcore conservative talk show host. He was very bummed out that day because the new unemployment numbers had come out and they had gone down quite a bit. A lot more people had found work.
Boo!
He was really disappointed with that because, you know, that just helps the president.
That's
he's like, no, I want it to be trash between now and the election. I want it to be worse than it is now so that we can get our guy in there and then it can go up.
But he was sort of joking.
He wasn't joking
what?
At all. No, totally serious.
And that's people's lives. I want people to go on and have their lives ruined because they can't get jobs. So
as
I can get the guy I want.
Right. As long as it furthers my position, then I don't care if other people suffer.
That's really crappy.
So I guess you just look for every possible way to sling mud, I guess, at the other side. And that sounds like what you're talking about with this spot here.
Tell Brian to eat a bag.
Bean, my friend Bean, please pass me the chopped salad. I could not be more upset, my friends, that the numbers are so indeed low. Bean, always a pleasure having lunch with you, my friend. Bean and Rush having an omelet.
Before we run out of time, frequent Kevin and Bean.
I'm out of time.
Before we run out of time,
I'm
frequent Kevin
out
and Bean.
Of time.
Contributor Hector writes in to say, Hector, perhaps you are thinking of Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston working together on the TV show Friends, as Paul played Lisa Kudrow's love interest.
Thank you.
In the final years of that
thank
show.
Thank you. I knew I saw him on the screen together someplace.
So thank you, Hector.
Well done, Hector. Today's celebrity birthdays. Pro surfer Bethany Hamilton. She's a professional surfer, and she is deficient in the arm department to the tune of one. She's better she's than you.
She's missing a wheel.
Not a wheel.
Wing.
She's missing a wing, but she's not missing a wheel.
All right.
I don't think she could be a pro surfer without a wing, without a wheel.
You don't know.
A one-legged surfer, I think, would be asking too much. But even with one arm, it's hard. Can you imagine?
She goes around in circles. I mean, that is a problem.
She's a pro. She's 22 years old today, and we give her mad props except for Kevin.
How dare you?
Jeremy Davis, bassist for Paramore. Oh, Paramore.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
Well said. Yes. 27 years old, Linkin Park bassist, Phoenix. 35, Seth Green. We love Seth Green.
We do.
Seth Green.
Oh, come on. Love Seth. 38 years old today. Mary McCormick in Plain Sight fame and also feature films. She's 43 years old. Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 51. Mary Steenburgen celebrates her 59th birthday. Nick Nolte, Oscar nominee this year for his role in Warrior. Can be seen on Luck on HBO. 71 years old. Ted Koppel, 72. And John Williams, legendary movie composer and conductor, who gave us this little tune.
Just this one.
That's all.
Is this all, though? This is all came
yeah, it just came in. Just the Star Wars. Oh, no, wait a minute. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Superman, Close Encounters of a Third Kind, E.T., you know, a few small independent films. He is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Congratulations to Carla Guidino from Downey. She is going to be seeing the band Bush on Friday, part of the Grammy weekend. They are kicking off the Grammy weekend with a pre-Grammy party. So we got those for you all day long today on K-Rock, including Cat Corbett at noon and at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Is this station still on the air at 9 p.m.? Are we on that
yes.
late?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what time we signed up.
Yeah.
Wednesdays on the Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with the Ace Man, our friend Adam Carolla, world's most downloaded podcast, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, with upcoming live shows, including Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center at 8 o'clock, almost sold out. Second show just been added at 10:30. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. And that's the show you're doing with Dennis Prager, conservative talk show host, right, Adam?
That's right, or he likes to be called DP for double penetration.
I don't think that sounds like Dennis Prager.
I think he would. Well, I haven't.
What happened?
I think he's going to like that.
There we go. Right. He's back. By the way, you mentioned briefly last time that you're going to be debating the existence of God. That's still the plan? That's what still is going to happen?
Some of that, but mostly meaning of life stuff.
Oh, okay. That's going to be fun. That sounds awesome.
Who knows the meaning of life more than Adam, though?
Adam is also going to be on The Celebrity Apprentice a week from Sunday. That debuts on NBC. And, of course, if you go to adamcarolla.com, you can download his new ebook, which is hilarious, called Rich Man, Poor Man. Right now, though, time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, moving down to number one. First, Super Bowl Sunday, getting ready to pack up the wife and kids and take them over to Kimmel's house for a hard 4 hours of drinking.
Right.
And my wife, like, I need my wife to drive me home, right? Like, she says, well, no, I can't go. I said, oh, why not? She said, oh, no, Natalia, my daughter, there's a party. I said, there's a party? Yeah, there's one of our friends from school's having a birthday party. I said, well, what time's that? Noon, 1 o'clock? Then you hustle over. Oh, no, that's at 4 o'clock.
What? During the Super Bowl, someone's having a party?
What? They're having a party on Super Bowl Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Right when the game started.
I was like 8 octaves higher than I should be, too, Kevin. I was like, you don't understand. I don't need a designated driver. I need a designated vomiter. I'm going to be that drunk. Are you kidding me? And then, you know, my daughter had her heart set on this thing, and I was trying to explain how evil the parents were for doing this.
Oh
my God.
Wow.
You just, people, there's a social contract we all enter.
Adam, you've got kids. If you're in this situation, you clearly have your kid's birthday party the day before on the Saturday, right?
Yeah, or you just weave it into the Super Bowl party. Like, you have your Super Bowl party, and you start bringing a cake out, and halfway into it, someone kicks a field goal, and everyone cheers and turns their back on your kid. But either way, 4 p.m. on Sunday.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, that is so un-American. Number two, Tyler Perry's got a new movie out. I want to talk to your three black listeners for a second.
Okay.
Can we please stop this man for one moment. First off, this movie's called Good Deeds. He plays Wesley Deeds. Is everyone sitting down? You can't do it. It's 2012. You can't do that. I've named myself after the movie's last name of the thing. Not to mention there was a movie called Mr. Deeds where the dude's name was Deeds that's 4 years old that Adam Sandler already did.
That's right.
That is insane to me. This man needs to be stopped, and poor Oprah is going to have to pretend like she likes it. I'm just saying, he's made his point, he's made his money, he's rich enough. Let's move on, black people.
This will be the number one movie of the weekend.
Oh, so sad. And speaking of movies, and number one, my number one beef is, I saw The Gray over the weekend with Liam Neeson.
Oh, I wanted to see that. It looked good.
Good movie.
Yeah,
good movie.
Okay.
Enjoyed it. Liked those kind of wilderness movies, you know, one guy and a couple dudes, and they're roughing it out in the cold. And by the way, when dudes are acting in the cold, there's never bad acting. There's never been a guy shivering and blowing steam out of his mouth sitting on a frozen log and you went, I don't know, I'm not buying it. Always perfect. You can never turn in a bad performance. Hot weather acting is a lot more difficult than cold weather acting.
Sure, you don't want a second take. You're too cold.
And also, you just got pulled out of an icy river and you're lying on a snowy bank. How bad can your acting be? Here's how you're supposed to act. Out of breath. It's
cold. I can do that.
Done and done. So, like, a Big Tad could pull that off. So I'm seeing The Gray, which I'm excited about, but the trailers for the movies before The Gray, well, one of them is Wrath of the Titans, starring who? Liam Neeson.
Oh, so no kidding.
I got to sit there. Now, The Gray, I'm supposed to buy that this guy's, you know, some loner who's working on the Alaskan pipeline, and then all of a sudden him and his buddies are trapped in the wilderness hunting the wolves. That's fine. I'm all into that. But 5 minutes before that, I got to see him as Lord Sitar in a bathrobe, like holding a golden chalice with a beard down to his thing, saying, like, Titor, you are my son from Nebulae. Like, what? You're destroying the next movie! He's supposed to be a loner on the Alaskan pipeline, not Lord Sitar!
You just can't make that transition?
No, I'm totally screwed for the rest of the movie.
Because
he's flying in a spaceship and shooting stuff out of a laser. You don't do that. You can't do that. You can, if you want to do a movie that stars Liam Neeson, you can do one where he plays a Vietnam vet.
Sure.
Because now I go, all right, he was a Vietnam vet, and now he's working on the Alaskan pipeline.
Now I can understand why he has that job and how he fights his way out.
Yeah, I can't have him fighting some centipede with 19 arms and swinging swords in some futuristic Middle Earth.
Yeah,
He's screwing me for the next movie.
Yep, it's bad form. They don't think about these things, do they, Adam? That's a good point right there,
my
friend.
Gotta be a law, fella.
I hear you.
AdamCarolla.com is the website to download Adam's podcast. Of course, you can get it on iTunes, too. Upcoming shows again, February 25th. Two big shows at 8 and 10:30 at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. Buy your tickets at AdamCarolla.com. Have a great week, Ace Man. We'll talk to you next time.
Love you.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the program today. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday show. What do you got for us, dude?
I have the greatest news ever. About a movie ever.
Wow.
It's a pretty big sell. Okay, see if I'm right or not.
All right. Okay.
How about the sequel to Machete?
Yay!
Yes. Si, senor.
Did I lie?
You did not.
Pretty good news.
Machete. This is Machete, Machete. This is Machete. Machete. This is Machete.
Stop it. Machete Kills, the sequel.
Machete.
This is Machete. Machete.
The sequel of a proposed trilogy, mind you.
Nice.
Talks are, it's going to go into production this April.
Mm-hmm.
And they've released the plot.
Yes.
The new film finds Machete recruited by the U.S. government for a mission which would be impossible for any mortal man. Machete must battle his way through Mexico to take down a madman cartel leader and an eccentric billionaire arms dealer who has hatched a plan to spread war across the planet with a weapon in space.
They called him Machete.
Yeah.
This is Machete.
Machete has to take
he
on
was
an...
given an offer he couldn't refuse.
Machete has to take on an army in an effort to dismantle a plan for global anarchy.
Sweet.
He's going to need a bigger knife.
It's like James Bond.
That is something.
The villain's trying to take over the world, and Machete's going to stop him.
This is Machete.
Because he's Machete.
He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys.
This time, they F with the wrong Mexican. That's all.
Love it.
So that's very exciting.
Can't
news.
Wait.
More sequel news. The Wolverine will be out next summer. The X-Men sequel, The Wolverine. Movie was originally set to be filming begin filming last fall, but it was delayed so that Hugh Jackman could do Les Miserables.
Ooh, Hugh's got to do his musicals.
Less singing, more mutton chops. More adamantium blades coming out of your fists. Okay, bucko?
I think I'm down with that, too.
You know I'm serious when I break out the bucko.
You haven't broken that out in quite some time.
Yeah. So they are... going to release it in July the 26th, 2013, by the way. That's the date, if you want to circle
Hold
your calendar.
Hold on a second. Hang on.
July 26th.
July 26th.
2013. Yeah.
All right.
Boy, 2013 is filling up pretty fast.
Really, well, make a little note right next to it, because that's the same release date as Dirty Dancing,
Can't
the
do
remake.
It. Can't
so
do it. I already got the other things.
And they're going to make a Jetsons movie. A real live action Jetsons movie.
Kanye West was right.
Yeah. Hanna-Barbera cartoon, The Jetsons. Live action, no word on casting for George or Jane or Judy or Elroy or Astro or Rosie the Robot. I suggest Stephen Hawking for Rosie the Robot. I think
I like
that'd be
it.
Great casting.
I like it.
Where's your food, Mr. Jetson? Awesome. There was a feature-length animated film, The Jetsons, back in 1990, I think they made that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Didn't you guys have some connection to the Jetsons movie?
Nope.
Wasn't there some connection?
Not with us. Thinking of Mark and Brian.
Oh, was it?
So funny, because I was trying to think if we did or not. Bean clearly remembers.
Yes, he does. He's denying it.
No, we didn't, Ralph.
I think there was some connection with Kevin and Bean in the 1990s.
There was no connection.
The Jetsons movie.
I don't even know what it
just
is.
Just Mark and Brian.
But I know that there wasn't one.
No, I'm pretty sure there was.
What would they have done to you?
You're mistaken. You're remembering wrong.
Lisa, you may not remember this, but I think at the time of the release of that animated feature-length film, Kevin and Bean did a hilarious Jetsons sketch, a live-action Jetsons play with the Jetsons.
Right, that thing that Mark O'Brien did. Now I remember.
Where Bean played Judy Jetson's boyfriend.
Oh, no.
You know, don't make me bust this out, because we got a lot of room in tomorrow's show, and you can fess up to it now, or I can do an entire break tomorrow.
Oh,
on.
I think I need to
we
hear
did
this.
It. We did it! We did
now,
it!
Fair enough, Lisa. I think we'll have to revisit this tomorrow with the Jetsons news.
Too late.
Up to it.
Too late. You had your chance.
There's no way to teach you a lesson unless we make honesty the rule of the day around here.
You're going to rub our noses in the
That's
mess
right.
we made?
Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about Kevin and Bean and the Jetsons.
Wish we had time.
Yeah. We got time tomorrow.
I wish. I really wish.
I'll carve out some time.
Isn't there any kind of statute of limitations on things that we did? I mean, come on. 20 years later, can't we get
There's
a break?
There's no statute of limitations on murder, my friend. And you guys have been murdering comedy for 20 years now. Time to pay your debt to society.
We've been paying all along the way.
No, you're still out, free man, walking around. I will not rest until you're behind bars where you belong.
In comedy jail?
That's right. Of course, Kevin's behind a bar almost every night. You know what I'm saying? Glug, 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 glug. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nick Nolte, 71 years old today. He's pretty strong. He's a great actor.
He is great.
Mary Steenburgen, 59 years old. Vince Neil of Motley Crue is 51. Mary McCormick, another talented actress, is 43. Seth Green, one of our good friends and super talented guy, not just with Robot Chicken and the work he does on Family Guy and Austin Powers and Buffy, but very creative and always busy. Guy's always got 19 projects in the works.
Seth Green.
Why, come on, don't be like that. 38 years old today. Phoenix of Linkin Park is 35. Jeremy Davis of Paramore is 27 years old.
Anyway, a little bit later on this morning, a live performance from K-Rock and from Paramore.
Yeah,
Paramore's the name of the band. They'll be doing the live performance.
Coming up on the
You need to lay down.
It's one of the worst days of my life.
Come
it was
on now.
Rough.
That was a rough show.
Never been higher.
I missed it. I've I've never heard more stories about a show, though, than that
yes,
one.
Yes, I have a granola bar. That was the beginning of the granola bars. Yeah. My mouth is dry because I have a granola bar for breakfast.
Surfer Bethany Hamilton is 22 years old today. Kevin just lies all the time. Oh, granola bar for breakfast. Never did a Jetsons comedy. Nope. Just lie. Everything he opens his mouth is a lie.
Because nothing I've done am I proud of. Yeah. So I just lie automatically.
Ted Koppel from ABC News is 72. And conductor John Williams.
Good stuff right there.
That's not so impressive. Really.
Here it comes.
Ooh, double speed.
Yeah. It gets better.
Here. Come on.
Hear that? Wait a minute. This is the disco version.
This is crappy. Whatever this is.
He's playing the dance remix of the Close Encounters of the Third Kind song.
Is this the Miko version?
Yes.
Saturday Night Live version.
Wow. I think it is the Miko version.
I know it is.
How about that?
It's like when they
apologize to Mr. Williams.
Wow.
He is 80 years old today. I wish Beer Mug was interviewing him. That'd be great. When I think of movie composers, I think of other people who aren't you, John Williams. Guy did Star Wars, Superman, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And B picked that clip to play.
And sorry. The original music that Miko based their disco version on that Bean just played. He's 80. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. How does the story end? We have a new episode of that. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Grammy tickets. And we have the...
Kevin and Bean meets the Jetsons.
We have a brand new TV show that we're obsessed with called Doomsday Preppers.
And Kevin and Bean meet the Jetsons.
And the Wheel of Bed Animal Boys.
And Kevin and Bean meet the Jetsons.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new...
Kevin and Bean meet the Jetsons.